Easter should be the best day of the year. It's a celebration of the resurrection of hope. Come to Crossroads Church and celebrate an empty tomb and a living hope. Info and service times at crossroads.net.
On Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags! Let's rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Level 3. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency, the pencil players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Man, this show's got an old school feel to it tonight. It's good. So we're coming in on the 20th anniversary, actually. So we got to keep it. It's good to get to go back to our roots a little bit. It's like we're part of the wrestling wars here. The Dodgers in San Diego just keep playing. These guys just keep going and going and going and going and going. I'm on the Dodgers. Oh, we had a good night tonight. It's one of these nights where I'm looking at my account. I'm like, how come there's not more money in my account? But I'm like, oh, yeah. So this is what I did tonight. I took the in-game under 4.5 in the MLS All-Star game, and I parlayed that with the Oregon Ducks to win the Pac-12 North. And I have another parlay here. I played under 4.5 with the Oregon Ducks to win the Pac-12 North and the Wisconsin Badgers to win the Big Ten West. And I sort of teased it earlier in the day, but I'm telling you what, guys. We're going to talk college football in a couple of minutes. Jerry Palm is going to step up, and then CBS, one of my favorite guests. And I'm willing to bet you $1 million Jerry Palm does not mention ESPN during the interview because he's on CBS. Just saying, right? You know what's funny, though, and we love Babano, but it is true. I've done it where I piss guests off. I did it like it happens where – we had a guest on, I forget. I said, oh, yeah, I just read an article about this guy reading. And I realized after that they don't like each other, like the networks or whatever. Like, it's very sensitive that people don't realize it. You think it's like, oh, Morency's being a big-ass bitch or whatever. But, like, and yeah, I was in a sense, but yes and no. It's like this is a real business world, right? Let me put it this way. Like, you know, if you go on an MGM show, they're going to be mad if you start talking about FanDuel. Like, it's like... the fact that Babano didn't understand that, though, that's what, like, blew, like, that was the part that got me. Said Babano was getting mad because I yelled at him, and I realized that, yeah, like, because I didn't like his reaction, so. But I was like, you know what? I'm the one who started. He started it, but I went from 0 to 60 on it. So I'm not going to go nuclear and really start losing it. It only happened a few times. We had a guest on all the time before. We should try to get him on for the anniversary, actually. He was a regular on our show, and we had a blowout, man, like on the air one night. And it escalated fast. Like, and it went from like 0 to 60, like fast. And he hung up. I've been hung up on by guests. Gene Simmons, a kiss, hung up on me. Gene Simmons, Howard Bloom. Sports Business Journal or Daily, whatever the hell it was. He hung up on me once. He was very pissed off. We tried to get him back on, but he refused to come on after. He refused to come back. There's others too, but I don't want to give them publicity. I like Howard Bloom. I got no beef. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency. We're throwing it down right now, but Bano's in his kitchen having a bowl of soup going, that guy, I hate that guy. I don't even sell any picks when I go on that show. What am I getting out of this? I like when Babano dropped. I could use the sleep anyways on Wednesday nights. Sleep, man. Like, man, how much sleep does this guy need? So it turns out he sleeps 9 hours a night. But, you know, I don't sleep 9 hours a day, but... The fact is, I saw studies prove that sleeping more does help, right? So studies prove that sleeping does help. All right, but how are you going to sleep if you got money on the Dodgers in San Diego? Man, like how long did these guys are like, every day in baseball, like we set records, it seems. You know, this hasn't happened since this, but the Dodgers have played some long-ass games before yet. It's hard to go into, like, late extra innings. Like, when you get a runner for free on second base, man, it's actually pathetic. Like, it's almost, like, amazing to me. Like, how the hell can you not score when you have a runner on second base? It's like a football overtime if you gave the teams the ball on, like, the 10-yard line and no one can score. Is the defense and pitching that good, or are you all just a bunch of chokers? Come on, man. But, hey, it's all good. We're here. Jerry Palm's going to be here, too. You know who else was not here, but he was there? The Greek freak, Giannis. So, I know, wrestling's one of these deals where you either watched it, you like it, you've always liked it. If you're a wrestling fan, you're a wrestling fan for life. Doesn't mean you watch every episode of every company and stuff. Or you think it's stupid, you don't know anything about it, you're not paying attention to it. But like the business world we were just talking about, to me, wrestling world, it's a fascinating industry in a sense. It's part sports, it's entertainment, it's business, it's television. It's, you know, they got to get betting in more into it. And then they'll really, like, you know, really take off. It's like the Paralympics. The Paralympics starting, right? And it's too bad. Like, I think the Paralympics should be at the same time as the Olympics. Like, how hard is it? You have the 100-meter in the wheelchair, and then you have the 100-meter running. They should be together. I would put them together. They screw these people, putting them a couple of weeks after. But if there was odds on this stuff, people would watch it more. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Hey, Mo, want to come with me and Wally to the Super Bowl?
Oh, absolutely. My favorite team's in it. The Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, ever since I was a boy, I've always loved the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, they're good, but I wouldn't cut out the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I hear that President Clinton is going to be watching with his wife, Hillary.
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency. Jerry Palm will step up in it a little bit later on. What else? We'll talk college football, one of the best in the business. Jerry's great for college basketball and football. CBSSports.com. I am Gabe Morency, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We're kicking it. It's been a fun show. Hey, listen, that's what this show, we're here to entertain. The thing is, I was going to say, most people do these shows, guys, and it's just a job to them. You know, and let's talk about the futures here that I don't really bet too much on, and let's do this, and let's, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, with us, and the same thing with Cam, you know, like, Cam, it's like, it really is Monday Night Raw for us every night, you know what I mean? We lay it on the line, we're open, and like I said, you know, we're transparent, so if you're tuning in, you're like, man, you know. And our boy Venture, come on, Venture. You're a New Yorker. And even Venture's in a chat. Oh, Morency, now you're going too far. Now you're a little hard. Venture felt, if you're tuning in, it's just one of these things. It was like, we've asked a million times, we finally snapped. But it is true, you know, we've got to chill out on our guest. Like, if they do drive me crazy. Like, George Kurtzman is clicking, but how can I get mad at a guy for clicking his computer? And like he said, he goes, well, I got to see what you're talking about. And is it not insane that I can hear his mouse click? Like, how is my hearing so good? It's actually bothering me. Like, I'm telling you, I told someone about this. Like, dude, I can hear people conversation from like two blocks away now. I don't know, man. Maybe it was the vaccine. Like, maybe I have superpower hearing now or something. Guys, I listen to my headphones on 10.
I literally have everything on 10 all the time. I watched Rambo the other night. I had the TV on the sound at 102. And I realized, I was like, oh my God, this is loud. And I was like, loud, like, whoa, right? I was a singer and still am in a heavy metal band called Homicide. That we're loud as hell. Like, we were too loud type thing. Like, we were told, you guys are too loud, man. Like, you gotta chill out. It's just, it's too loud. Like, you know, like, we broke, like, a city bylaw. We were loud, so loud. Like, they came in. They were like, guys, like, what the hell's going on here? They're like, and the bar told us. They said, we've been doing shows here, like, 18 years, man. It's the first time they ever showed up due to noise. It was us. Like, I don't know, it's a good sign. But, like, I used to work metal shows. I remember once, the loudest band I've ever seen, Motorhead were the loudest band in the world, but then those jackasses Manowar tried to beat them, because Motorhead were in the Guinness Book of World Records, the loudest band. And that band from New York, Manowar, metal band, deliberately just tried to do it. But Motorhead were cool. They were just rocking loud. Manowar, like, tried to kill you, and they did. Like, Manowar were too loud to play. Like, they weren't allowed to play. It was too loud. Like, basically, like, for city ordinances and stuff. And so Manowar, but the loudest I saw, because I've seen Motorhead and they were loud, but the loudest, like, the only band that, like, pretty much, like, did ear damage to me was Slipknot. Like, I was standing right beside the cabinets of Slipknot, man, like the PA system. And, like, I was, like, I was moving, like, and I wasn't wearing earplugs. Like, basically, I did damage. Like, my eardrums have already popped type thing. So, but, like I said, so that's the thing. It's bizarre to me that I toured with metal bands for 15 years. I've hosted a show in which I've screamed and yelled and had the headphones on 10, that somehow, as I get older, I'm turning into Superman hearing. Like, I could be a comic book hero. You could attest to this, Matthias. You even just asked me, how the hell do you hear this stuff? I told Matthias during the break, you breathe too heavy, man. You're freaking me out. Told him, make sure your mic's off. I hear you breathing. Well, didn't you just tell me? How do you hear me? And what did I tell you? I hear George Kurtz click his mouse. I could hear Cam, like, I could hear Cam, like, I swear to God, like, microwave in the bathroom. I can hear him taking leaks. Like, I don't know what's going on. These microphones are super powerful too, evidently. They suck, but they're powerful. They break all the time, but they're powerful. I swear, if I dangle this mic off my balcony, I think I'll hear about my neighbors having sex. All right. I am Morency. Kicking it, having fun. So Kyle Hamburg's asking, so yeah, it's our 20th anniversary coming up. And we do live shows. We used to do road rages. We do less of them now because of the pandemic. And a lot of our hardcore fans used to come to these things are dead or gone. You know, the new era, and I, you know, it's, we got some guys. Like I said, the way I look at it is, you're not like a diehard unless I've met you. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you've come to a city or if you've come to an event, like, you know, that's the thing. Right, so like we used to have like diehards, right? Like, you know, like diehard, like our boy Kyle Hamburg is flown around like different events and cities. So we're having we're having our 20th anniversary. January 6th this year happens to fall on a Thursday, I believe. So it's almost like WrestleMania. We've got bid cities right now. People are bidding, right? You come in here, well, you know what I mean? And it's a, it's going to be a, it's a multiple city event. It's a multiple city event. There'll be sort of like the precursor and then the two main events. We will have an event in Vancouver. That'll be just sort of one of the, you know, the pre-show cursors, part of the tour. You know, we'll call it, you know what I mean? It'll be sort of the mini tour. And it really will be a tour because it'll be East Coast, West Coast. And so we will have an event in Vancouver. And the East Coast cities are up in the air right now. Although the front runners are Toronto and the Meadowlands, New Jersey. Those are the front runners. And I can tell you, so Thursday night, January 6th, right? And what we like about this, if there's like sports around it, and Zion and the Pelicans play the Raptors on that Sunday on the 9th. And they also play that Friday night, right? So, like, if people came to the event and stuff, like, you know, there's games to go to, right? Like, if we go to New York, we're in New York City, we're at the Meadowlands, we're at the FanDuel Sportsbook, it's a great time. We could have a party at the Sportsbook and never leave, right? Like, you know, we could get one of the party rooms up at the racetrack, one of the suites. It's great stuff over there. So, and you know, we have, you know, like I said, there could be some West Coast stuff. But, you know, it's narrowed down to a couple of cities. Now it just comes down to the dates because they won't be back-to-back. So then we narrow down, all right, when's the New York show? When's the Toronto show? And, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. And I talked about this earlier today. It's fascinating. The first ever NBA game was played on November the 1st, 1946. All right? In Toronto. Not a lot of people know that or would think that, right? Did you know that, Matthias? Did you know that? Probably not. The first ever NBA game was played in Toronto, Canada, at Maple Leaf Gardens in 1946.
You know why I knew that? Because I saw your tweet. I saw
thank
your tweet.
You. See, thank you.
You educated some of us.
Thank you. See, I'm making you smarter. Yeah. And you can't say it's not Raptors history if someone ever asks you when the NBA start. You can bang it off. November 1st, 1946, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. You'll look real smart.
That's my birthday, November 1st, son.
No way. You were.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci, Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 204. As you guys know, I've got football fever, and we're not calling a doctor. We're calling Jerry Palm to help us out with this. And, man, I'm all fired up for Big Ten football. We got a massive game to kick off of the season between Nebraska and Illinois, CBS Sports. Jerry Palm joins us. Jerry, happy football. It's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting a normal season in, you know, or at least as normal as we can still muster, you know, full stands and marching bands and student sections, you know, all of that. And of course, you know, the games themselves. I'm really looking forward to this season.
So am I. And we start off with a great game in the Big Ten. And a couple of teams that I bet on, so I really look forward to your perspective on this. And they're going head-to-head. So, Jerry, I bet under Nebraska 6.5 wins on the season. I think 7-5 is just a little bit too ambitious for the program. And conversely, I think Illinois are better than people think they are. I think they've got a lot of talent. I like the quarterback. I like the running back. I like the offensive line. I like the returning starters that they have. And I might be in a minority, but I think they've got the right coach right now. Nothing against Lovie Smith. He did a great job recruiting. But I think now with Coach Bielema back in the Big Ten, there's a lot to like about Illinois. And they're going head-to-head. So I got Illinois over 3.5 wins, Nebraska under 6.5 wins, and they're playing in the first game. Jerry, what do you think about these teams? Before we get to the game, what's your take on my bets?
I'm with you on Nebraska. I don't know so much about Illinois, but this is a huge game for Nebraska. And Scott Frost, as he's trying to get off to a good start in the year when he might actually be on the hot seat at Nebraska. They've got a new AD now, although I believe it's Trev Alberts, who I think is a former teammate of Frost when they both played at Nebraska. But still, it's, you know, this is a year where they need to show that they can take a step forward, and that starts with winning at Illinois. It's you know, the season has a chance to go off the rails early if Nebraska doesn't win at Illinois. And, you know, Illinois, like you said, they do have some talent. It's not thick. You know, they're very thin in terms of depth. But the guys that they do have playing are decent players. And I, but the thing about a new coach and especially Brett Bielema, who's kind of a known quantity, you know, that's a guy who likes to coach, you know, ground and pound style offense. Well, this team that he's inherited is not built for that. So it'll be interesting to see if he adapts to the players that he has, or if he tries to adapt these guys to the style that he likes, or if he does something in between. It's usually adapting players that don't fit to your style does not work well. It'll be interesting to see what he does. But I think scouting is hard when you have a new coach on the other team, because even if he's somebody with a history like Bielema, you don't really know what you're going to get.
We're in conversation with Jerry Palm, and it's funny, Jerry. It reminds me, actually, and it was opposite in the sense when Rich Rod took over after the Lloyd Carr era, right? Well, yeah. They recruited a bunch of smash-mouth football players, NFL, pro set guys. I got to get some different guys in here. And as you stated, it usually never works out. But this is different, though, right? It's the Big Ten. It's smash-mouth football. And, you know, my deal is, what do you think about the point spread? It's 6.5 points. And look, Illinois, I don't have to tell you, they had the game of the year last year against these guys, right? Peters had his career game. They won by, what, 41-23? They won by 17, 18 points, exactly.
Yeah.
And the year before, Jerry, I think it was like a 42-38 game. It was actually a close game. So I just wonder, like, well, why would Nebraska be a touchdown favorite here? Maybe they win the game, but I think they go in there and blow them out.
I don't know about blow them out. I mean, it's certainly, you never know what you're going to get game one, because there's still a bit of slop. You know, teams haven't found a rhythm. They haven't really battled anyone but each other for a while. So you see opposition for the first time. And, you know, especially teams that haven't done well, you might see a little more slop than usual. So they may not be well-oiled machines, either one of them. Yeah, 6.5 seems like a lot. I mean, I probably would just let that go and not bet it. But if I was forced to, I'd probably take Illinois to at least cover.
You're in the wrong place to let games pass. So we're not allowed here. I think I lose my job. If I pass, I'm kidding, Jay. I know what you mean. I tell people that, man, because guys, hey, Morency, what do you think of the New Mexico State game? It's like, guys, you know there's going to be like 2 million games played over the next couple of months, right? Like, you don't need to get stupid.
You don't really have to bet every game. And some of the spreads are really good, you know, and it's like, oh yeah, well, that sounds about right. You don't have to bet every game every week.
What about
but
your Boilers?
You probably have to at least talk about it.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a necessity. So what about, of course, Jerry is a Purdue Boilermaker. So what about your Boilers this year? They set the win total at 5.5, open up with the Beavers Saturday, September the 4th. What's your take on Purdue coming into this year? What should we be looking for?
I think the goal for Purdue is to get back to a bowl game, so that's 6 wins. They have a schedule that gives them a chance to do that. We'll see if they, you know, if they do. The defense is being completely revamped. New coaches all over the defense, and Jeff Brohm is getting involved in the defense. It's going to be more aggressive. Purdue's got an All-American level player on each side of the ball. George Karlaftis, the defensive end, and David Bell, the wide receiver, are guys that are going to play at the next level. The guys around them are going to need to be better, and especially Purdue's offensive line. If Purdue's offensive line can block well enough so that Purdue can run the football reliably, then they have a chance to have a very explosive offense and a big year. And if they can't, like they have the last couple of years, not really been able to run the ball well, then it's going to be another challenge just to get the 6 wins.
Coach Smith has done a nice job building his Beaver program. You know they're a scrappy team. What do you think about that game? Yep. Are you concerned? You think it comes down to the wire?
Of course.
Is this a winnable game for you guys?
It should be winnable. It's a home game against essentially a peer, a team picked near the bottom of its division in their league. So it's a huge game for both teams because you want to build momentum going towards possibly a bowl game. And this is a game where if you don't win this game, either one of these teams, your chances of making a bowl are not very good.
Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, with us. Jerry, I put a smaller play in. I didn't go as big as I did on some of the other stuff, but I played under 11.5 with Ohio State, so I need them to lose once. Are they going to lose one Big Ten game this year, Jerry, do you think? And are they going to smoke the Ducks? Am I in trouble? Did I just put a losing bet in?
Yeah. I would not be surprised if they beat Oregon by a comfortable margin. They're just loaded. I mean, they recruit at a different level than most teams nationally do. Alabama is a peer. Clemson is a peer when it comes to recruiting. It's a short list of teams that recruit at the level that Ohio State does. Nobody in the Big Ten does. That doesn't mean they can't be upset at some point because we've seen it happen from time to time. but they're going to be favored in every game they play, and they should be favored in every game they play.
You Penn State, so they lost their first five, won their last four. A lot of people think that they're going to be in the mix, right? That they're going to give Ohio State a run. They're at 8.5. Can they, you know, their schedule is so tough. What do you think about Penn State? Because I'm sure you see it too. You hear it. People either love or hate this team, right? They're pretty polarizing.
I like Penn State. I don't really put too much in what happened during a pandemic year. So programs that are pretty reliable, like Penn State and Michigan, are probably going to bounce back this year. And I think Penn State's probably the second best team in that division. And I expect the Nittany Lions to have a bounce back year. I think they'll go over that 8.5.
Well, that's why I like you, Jerry. You're a sane person. And I'm a Michigan guy. So when people say Harbaugh's been terrible, he's been, he's there. I put people on the spot. What are his records there? What are the records?
Well, here's the thing about 9-4,
terrible, right? But no, it was bad last year. But like you said, 2-4, pandemic year. So what's your take on Harbaugh and Michigan and what's up there?
So here's the thing about Harbaugh. His first year, they won a bowl game.
Yeah.
And it's the only time.
Was it Sugar Bowl, right? Virginia Tech.
Not the first year.
That was year two. Okay, year two. Yeah.
Yeah, and they lost that one. So they haven't won a bowl game since. They've lost their four previous next. They've got a four-game losing streak in bowls since that one. Also, that first year is the only time under Harbaugh that they finished the season ranked higher than they started. So this team doesn't really live up to preseason expectations. Yeah. The preseason expectations are not as good this year. I think they'll live up to that. I think they'll bounce back. What's the win line on them?
They're at the 7.5. So can they get? Are they an 8-4 team or a 7-5?
Yeah,
team?
I think 8-4 is reasonable. But I don't really like them at 9 or 10. But I think they can get 8.
What do you, man? How big? There's so many big games. So Penn State out Wisconsin, they get rolling, and then you get Washington and Michigan. Same thing. And we don't know much about Washington. We know their defense is going to be good. They're kind of an enigma, but they're going on the road. Before we get you out of here, what do you think about those games? That's another play I put in. I bet Wisconsin to win the division. Nice and simple, Jerry, just to win the division.
Too. Yep, me too.
Like that stuff.
Yeah, that's a great game to start because it's really important for both teams in terms of getting off to a good start because it's a conference game. So, you know, if you're Penn State and you're chasing Ohio State, you can't afford to lose to Wisconsin. Right? Wisconsin can afford to lose to Penn State, probably still win the division. Penn State probably cannot lose to Wisconsin because you're going to have to beat Ohio State anyway, and you're doing it on the road. So good luck with that. But, you know, if you want a 10-win season for Penn State, you better beat Wisconsin. And that's going to be a great game. That's definitely a big game on the calendar. I like Michigan to beat Washington. I think that should be a pretty good game. I think it's going to be a close game. I generally don't like teams making three time zone road trips. And that's what this is for Washington. So I like Michigan, but I think it's tight. And then obviously there's one other big game, the biggest game maybe of the entire non-conference season, in that week one, and that's Georgia Clemson in Atlanta, I believe, in the dome.
Who are you leading with there?
Clemson. I like Clemson. Georgia's a little banged up, but Clemson's just better anyway, I think. But that should be a great game. That is an enormous game with playoff implications.
Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, with us. And, man, Jerry, I was so fired up for the games. We didn't even get into the Alliance. We'll do that down the road. Yeah, man, but it's always a pleasure, Jerry. Thanks for, house call. I got football fever.
Anytime.
You delivered. Thanks, Jerry.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
With Gabe Morency on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
What's the dumbest bet I ever heard of?
I disagree.
We're moving in on 5 hours now. 5 hours? Like I said, that's why. Like, people bet all this stuff, and you're going to be on the losing end of the bet. It's like, oh, man. That's the whole thing, like, when you lose an NFL football game. I am Gabe Morenci, SiriusXM Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio Networks. That's, to me, like, the pain of a bet the most. Like, I don't think about the money. I'm not like, oh, I just lost $300. Like, I think of, like, oh, God. I'm like, I just spent 2.5 hours of my life watching this, like, getting into it. Like, the ups and downs, and it's over, and it's like, oh. And especially for these late-night games like this, because there's nothing to bet on after. Right? This is where people get in trouble. Actually, there's Korean KBO. People abandon the KBO, though, huh? People are all over the KBO when Major League Baseball went, oh, I love the KBO, KBO. And then suddenly it's gone, what? Oh, KBO? You know, that pissed me off, actually. Dear God, unbelievable. It's like this Dodger, the Dodgers in San Diego, like, this thing's like, is it a classic? I don't know, but it's memorable. But, like, remember during the pandemic, there was, like, the UFC was on. And there was all these sports people and handicappers. Suddenly they're selling UFC picks and stuff. It's like, dude, you haven't talked about the UFC once in your life. And we went, now, because it's a pandemic, it's all there is, it is. And then people comment on it. Same with NASCAR. But the second sports are back, you notice those people never talk about these sports ever again, right? You'll notice, you know, in his business, you can tell who's a real sport fan. Like, we talk about Journey Olympics. And I'm a gambler, and I talked about this earlier. I love all competition, right? And I said this, and I meant it. The Paralympics get screwed over. They really do. The Paralympics should be at the same time as the Olympics. Or at least, like, a crossover, like, the week before type thing. You know what I mean? It's such a throwaway. Like, that they do the Paralympics a couple of weeks after when everyone's gone and everything. It's like, really? Why? How hard is it? Like, you know what I'm saying? And I get challenges. You can't have every event at the same time. I get it. But to have it, you know, it's sort of like an afterthought, the Paralympic Games. And I saw on Twitter today, the one athlete they covered, she's hot, right? And there's a hot swimmer from the USA. So, of course, she's getting all this attention. But I'm dead serious. And we talk about this with, like, with MMA companies and stuff, right? What would Bellator be if you couldn't bet on it? People wouldn't care. Like, you know what I mean? Whatever, NFL, whatever. Like, sports is built on betting. But it doesn't mean you don't love sport. I love the competition of sport. But I like it better when I have money on it. And I would watch the Paralympics. I'd watch wheelchair basketball. I got no beef watching wheelchair basketball. But I'm just being honest. I'm not going to watch it for 2 hours if I don't have money on it. I'll watch it for a couple of minutes, and I'll say, you know what, good for these guys, or girls, and it's nothing personal against, oh, because it's wheelchair basketball as opposed to NBA basketball. No, because I can't bet on it. Like, I'm telling you. Like, I don't know, has anyone seen any lines? Like, put lines out for the Paralympic Games, and all of us right now would be talking about, hey, Morenci, who do you like tomorrow in the 100 meters? You know, we would, and we'd be breaking it down. Like, why wouldn't you? And it's shame on the sports books. Shame on you. Shame on you. Maybe I got to be the one to get it started. But, like, shame on the sports books. Like, why wouldn't you set numbers for this? You guys are taking bets on Russian ping pong, all right? I mean, God, like, Monday Night Raw is less fixed than that. Like, seriously. You guys take bets on Vietnam. I know, I bet on some of this stuff, man. Let's see what you're taking bets on right now. You can bet on the Mongolian Premier League Soccer League right now. I mean, you're taking bets on e-soccer and Dota and League of Legends and this crap. You're taking bets on table tennis, a.k.a. ping pong. You tell me, too. You put a guy named Ivan and Yuri in a room in Moscow together, and you're telling me that this is on the up and up? I defend sports as not being fixed, too, but this ping pong stuff, shady, man. I know, because I'm a degenerate, and I bet on it. Here we go. We got it going on right now. Here's Vladimir taking on Pavel. These guys are going to go out for a big laugh after this match. I cannot believe people like can bet on this. And this is coming from me. This is coming from me. I bet on everything. And even I don't like, listen, ping pong, table tennis in the Olympics, fine. But this is the Russian Premier League. I'm watching it live right now. There's literally two dudes and there's like a judge guy sitting in like a room in Moscow. There's no one else there. And there's a camera, like there's one camera angle. I guarantee you right now on the other side of the camera angle, there's like four dudes with guns. And they're just sitting there and they're having a smoke. They're having a drink and they're just watching. And it's like, hey, that's why there's only one. I want to see the whole room. Who else is in the room? I'm telling you, dude, they do the old bait and switch, too. One guy will be up like, you know, 11 to nothing. Oh, he won the first game 11 to nothing. It's like, oh, yeah. It looks like he's killing them. No. Then the odds change and the other guy like wins three sets in a row. Look at these guys. I'm better than this guy. Who is this guy? Who's this guy? Vladimir Zigalov. Let me look this guy up. Vladimir Skigalov. Table tennis. He doesn't look very good, so I want to see what he's ranked in the world. Because he's probably pretty good, and I think I can beat him. All right. No. It turns out he's a legend. Vladimir. No, I got Vladimir Samsonov. Also known as Uzdemir. See, that's what I'm saying. What do you mean, also known as? Stuff, some shady stuff, man. That's some shady stuff. So as I was saying, and thank you, David McCann, for the kind words, enjoying the show. I'm dead serious. I'll ask people, would you watch, let me ask you, Matthias, would you watch the Paralympics more? As in, like, at all? If you could bet on it. It would change everything.
Yeah, it would be more interesting to me, but at the same time, if it was on during the same time as the Olympics, I probably wouldn't pay that much more attention to it because I would watch the other things more. Now, I'd probably pay a little bit more attention to
what
it
because
it's on.
My God. All right. Let me backtrack here. Like, Matthias, what do you think when I mean during the Olympics? Like that we're going to have the Paralympic Games go head-to-head with the Olympics? You coincide them together in the same stadium, bro. That was my point.
To make your point clear, it would make it more interesting if you could bet on it because that's your initial question, and that's an easy yes.
Yeah. All right. Now I need a drink. Like... No, I'm not saying take the Paralympics and put it against the 100 meters of the men's. What I said is you have them do the 100 meters in the wheelchair and then you say, all right, coming up in 45 minutes, we have Andre DeGrasse coming up next and the women are coming up. That was my point. All right, head to head. Yeah, they're going to go head to head, the Paralympics. It's all the Olympics. We talked about that. You guys kill me, man. Between the guests, Matthias, like, I don't know, is it me? Maybe everyone's right and I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just getting crazy. I don't know, man. But, like, I'm telling you, you got to get numbers for this. You know what? I'm going to start my own damn sports book. Everybody else is. Everybody else has. I'm going to start my own sports book. I'm going to have Paralympic lines, all right? And I'm going to have a lot of wrestling lines. Wrestling betting. People say, oh, you can bet on wrestling. You're betting on wrestling ping pong. All right? You don't know what's going to happen on Monday Night Raw. You don't know what's going to happen to All Elite. How do you know who's going to win? Do you know who's going to win? Tell me. Who's going to win? the same thing as betting a stupid sporting event. I'd rather bet on a wrestling event than this stupid Dodger-San Diego game. I better win this. This is one of these deals. I'm not as invested as everybody is on this. I don't, like, I'm a Dodger fan. To me, it's just, you know, it's a game. Whatever, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I'm, you know, I'm worried about the World Series. I'm not worried about this. But it's one of those, like, you better win. You know what I mean? It's like when you get into these baseball games. It's like, you know what I'm fascinated by that amazes me? Is it's hard to go into the 14th inning when you get a runner on second base. Like, that's the thing that's amazing. Like, how many runners, like, technically, they have to be moving into records here for runners in scoring position left on base, but it's kind of skewed because they're starting on second base, so it's not a real stat, you know? That's the thing with that. I think they're doing away with it. So I think basically, enjoy this baseball season, all right? Because these guys hate each other, man. Like, they really hate each other. Like, there's no, like, exaggerating it and stuff. Like, baseball, the baseball players and the baseball owners and the commissioner, they're not on the same page. They're not, like, in the same galaxy. You know what I mean? They don't see things the same way at all. And it's going to get ugly. And I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't baseball for, like, a full year or something. I mean, I'm not going to say, oh, there's never going to be baseball again. But these guys can't agree on anything. The players like the seven-inning stuff, and they like the runner on second base. Why? Because supposedly they'll get them out of there earlier, right? It's like a job to them. So, sure. Fine. Imagine being told you're going to make the same amount of money, but you only have to work like 2 or 3 hours less a day. You're going to say no? Even if you're a baseball player, you're going to say no? Of course not. So they like it. And the owners don't care because they're not charging less money to get in because it's a seven-inning game where they're putting runners on second base. Do they? No, they don't charge less, do they? That's interesting. No one really has. People brought that up. It's funny. Seven-inning game now. You guys charging 12% less for the ticket? Probably not, right? So either way, they all got our money already. They already got the TV network's money already. So they all don't mind this, but the owners are dang. The commissioner said the other day, yeah, we're going to do away with this seven-inning for the good of the game and the tradition of the game. Manfred, you don't care about the tradition of the game. You're just trying to already tell the players, we're going to screw you because we know you like this. It's the beginning of the end. That's what it is. The Late Night Anger Management Class. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There's a video. I don't know if you guys have seen it. It's great if you haven't. It's one of the funniest things ever. It's Yuppie, the mascot. Not with the Montreal Canadiens, but he's Montreal Expo's mascot. And he got kicked out of a game. He's the only mascot ever to get kicked out of a sports game for real by the umpire. Tommy Lasorda complained because he was making noise on the dugout. And Yuppie was dressed up like in a nightgown and he had a pillow and everything. Because the game, it was 22 innings, man. The game went forever, all right? I remember that game, but I wasn't there. No. There it is. All right. I was wrong. I thought it was 23 innings. It was 20. Is this the game? But I went to Dodger Stadium, Chavez Ravine. I don't know. It was like the early 90s. I used to go to the every Dodger game, and I think this is the one. I think it was, because I remember it was against the Phillies. So I'm seeing 1993, 20 innings. So it was 20 innings, so it wasn't 23. But I swear, I remember this game, man. I used to take the bus there. So, and you have to walk through, like, East L.A. and stuff, right? This is, like, gang era, right? It was, like, and during the day, it wasn't that bad. But I was never there at 2 or 3 in the morning. I never seen it at 2 or 3 in the morning, right? I realized as the game was going on, I'm like, man, I'm in, like, East L.A. at, like, 2 in the morning. Like, I sort of clicked in. There's no Uber or anything. It's like that. You know, I didn't have a cell phone. You know what I mean? I was waiting for a bus. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
To be honest,
we should come with a warning label.
Caution.
24-hour sports talk
may cause mild addiction.
Get on the grid. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.